Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Shalom, 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 everyone. Grace and peace to you.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Hey, shalom, shalom, family, shalom.
Shalom. All praise the Father's mercy. Well, I want to say welcome again to another episode of the Sounds of Living Water from Job with Israel, the Commonwealth of Israel. And tonight is the Thursday night edition coming out of Peoria, Illinois, that is to say, the Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study Class with our brother Isaiah Brown, bringing what? Razor blades and lemon juice. That's right, brother, that's right. Well, sound like we got another one of those chapters for that book, Hubris Knowledge.
Oh, maybe.
Hey, man. Well, we're going to see. Well, today reading form is your brother Nakomi Swanson of the Nation of Peace, the Israelites of Minneapolis, Minnesota. And tonight's precept is charity cover a multitude of sins, yay, because we're scarcely saved. Let me repeat that. Charity cover a multitude of sins, yay, because we're scarcely saved. Well, we're going to let Isaiah break this thing down for us. We turn it over to you, Mr. Brown. Shalom, Israelite.
Hey, Elder, shalom, shalom, shalom. Hey, grace and peace to you. Grace and peace also to the brothers and sisters that are online. Thank you for tuning in to the Bible Balls Talk. Excuse me. Thank you for tuning in to the Bible Blog Talk Show. To the Spirit of Meekness and Charity. My name is Brother Isaiah, and I'm teaching a lesson tonight. And my reader is A.K.A. Nakomi. Also, well, Nakomi, A.K.A. Little Israel, will be reading for me tonight. And you know, this is a powerful precept, brothers and sisters. This is a very, very powerful precept. It's because we got to understand. You hear me talk. If you're used to being on my blog talk show, you hear me say it a lot of times about, you know, the righteous is scarcely saved. I think it should be in our very most attention to seek and search that thing out so we can try to save ourselves from this untoward generation. And definitely, if you're a teacher, to seek and search these things out to teach others how they can get themselves, you know, a comfortable spot in the kingdom through the mercy of God. You see, but you got to understand something. The Bible said the righteous is scarcely saved. I truly believe the righteous is scarcely saved is because we're not looking at the milk of the scriptures. You know, we're so quick with the meat, and when you get the meat, you start arguing, debating, fighting with the fist, and you're not really paying attention to what you're doing. That's one thing. Another thing, too, is that a lot of us don't address these small issues. And the reason why we don't address these small issues is because everybody is so girded up on knowledge. You know, instead of taking a fall once in a while, you just got to be right. And if you got to be right, then that's pride right there. You know, we have to understand that everybody has their own level of understanding. Their level of understanding might not be as high as yours. Or it might not ever meant to be for their understanding to be as high as yours. We got to understand that part. But then we also got to understand this thing, too. We in this flesh. So all a servant of God can do is do the best they can to keep themselves from themselves and to keep your sins at a minimum. But at the same point in time is that don't mean you save. What I mean by save is that you got an automatic spot into the kingdom. The only ones we know that got an automatic spot in the kingdom is the prophets we read in the Bible. So the Bible said the righteous are scarcely saved. Righteous, you know, the ones that's doing the law, statutes, commandments of Most High God to the best of their ability. You mean to tell me we are scarcely saved? And I believe at on this point, while we're scarcely saved, it's because of our mouths. You know? Or you might have an issue in the flesh that you just haven't got a chance to get over. Then, at the same point of time, God is merciful. So he know that we have battles in the flesh, and he know we flesh. And he know we trying to do to get this thing right. So I truly believe that this charity thing is a ram in the bush. And this precept is not focusing on people who's not trying to seek and serve God. It's only for the ones that's really trying to do this thing right. So we got a lot of things we're going to go through in this precept. So I'm going to ask all brothers to please uncover their head and all sisters to please cover your head. And Brother McCumley, are you online, bro?
Yes, I am.
All right, grace and peace, bro. Grace and peace. And then Brother McCumley will read whatever the Father put on his heart. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. O Lord, almighty God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and of their righteous seed, who has made heaven and earth with all the ornament thereof, who has bound the sea by the word of thy commandment, who has shut up the deep and sealed it by the terrible and glorious name, whom all men fear and tremble before thy power, for thy majesty of thy glory cannot be borne, and thy anger threatening toward sinners is importable. But thy merciful promise is unmeasurable and unsearchable, for thou art the Most High Lord of great compassion, long-suffering, very merciful, and repentance of the evils of men. Thou, O Lord, according to thy great goodness to them that have sinned against thee, and of thy infinite mercies has appointed repentance unto sinners, that they may be saved. I have read in the book of Manasseh, first column in the Apocrypha. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, amen. Okay, but he got pretty good with it. Okay, cool. All praises. I'm going to check that out one of these days. Oh, yeah, and thank you for being able to tune. Thank you for being able to read for me tonight, Brother Nakomi. Amen. All praises, brothers and sisters. And as usual, it's time for us to tear these scriptures off to shreds. And as always, pure razor blades of lemon juice. You know, brothers and sisters, we got to really take heed to the precept we're doing tonight. You know, because the Lord said the righteous are scarcely saved. But at the same point in time is I truly believe that charity and doing the work in the vineyard of charity is a ram in the bush for the righteous. You see, because we can be oh so holy and righteous as we want. But at the same point in time is the book constantly keep telling us is that the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, you might not have a good day and say some words you ain't supposed to be saying. You might have a thought slip up that you shouldn't be thinking about. You might be fighting that flesh, you know. You might be fighting that flesh, you know, and trying to entertain something you're not supposed to be entertaining. You see, these things creep up. And in order for you to see it, you can't be a hypocrite and you can't be super holy. Because if you talk and teach like you super holy, then you'll make the people seem like you just so high, pious, and holy, you ain't got no issues and stuff like that. But that's not the case. The case is that we need to understand that every brother and sister have a battle they fight in the flesh. You see? And I truly believe that charity is the cure. Well, charity would give a boost level on what you're supposed to be doing, what's right. Because when you sit back and look at these scriptures in this Bible, when the Lord talking about really impressing him, when the Bible really talk about pleasing him, when the Bible talk about certain type of actions that just make him so happy, you got to understand that it's a lot of that is milk. So when you find yourself doing the best you can to serve God, but you got your issues you're dealing with, did you know that putting on charity, God will forgive you for a multitude of your sins? It didn't say he was going to forgive you a multitude of your sins one time. It said, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. I truly believe that's a ram in the righteous. That's a ram in the bush for the righteous. Because we can just do the best we can. It ain't like we'll get everything right. But just being genuine and a good person and helping and defending the poor and doing those and help those that's in need and giving with joy and being exceeding glad for and a happy person and just doing the best you can to serve God, man, you look like you're looking pretty good for the kingdom. Don't think just because you know a lot of stuff that's going to get you into the kingdom, because that's how we teach. We don't say it, but that's how we teach it. And if you're constantly teaching like that, or you're constantly trying to show people like that, then it's obvious you might think that because of the understanding you have, that's going to get you a shot at the kingdom. But when you read the book of Matthew chapter 25, that's a whole different story. You see God dividing the sheep from the goats. God called these people sheep, and he also called them righteous. That is giving us a metaphorical way of these are people who please God, and they get into the kingdom. He divided them from the wicked. But then when the Lord turned around and said, come ye blessed in my kingdom, because when I was in my adversities, you came and helped me. The sheep said, Lord, when did we see you like this? So if the sheep asking God, when did we see you like this, it's obvious these people didn't know the true and living God. Because if they did know the true and living God, they would have known off the back they were supposed to do that. But that's enough of me talking. Let's get into this precept, and let's break this whole thing down. So, Brother McCormick, let's go to the book of 1 Peter chapter 4. The book of 1 Peter chapter 4, and what we're going to do is pick this thing up at verse 18. The book of 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 18, and we're going to read verses 18 through 19. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
1 Peter chapter 4, verse 18.
Yes, sir.
Scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator.
Amen, amen, amen. So if you look at verse 18, it just get down right, just cut low, deep sky. on to scare the hell out of anybody who's trying to serve the true and living God. This is a nightmare. And if the righteous scarcely be saved? So when I read that, my whole mission in life for me, I ain't talking about nobody else, for me, is to find out every single wrong thing of serving or things we're not really paying attention to. To check that stuff out. Because if it said the righteous scarcely saved, that means you mean to tell me that even if you do keep the law, statute, and judge Most High God, it's a chance you might not make it? Because a week or two ago, we did a precept that was called the sin of Lucifer. And according to them scriptures, we found out Lucifer became a liar in the book of Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. And we also provided the scriptures to show you that his sin before man entered into the world. He was an accuser. Accusing is also another form of pointing a finger. And the Bible even said that when the devil got kicked out and the angels rejoiced, it said that the devil accused the angels before God day and night, but the Bible never said the devil lied on them. And when you look the word up accuser, you don't see the word lie. How many of us accusing? How many of us pointing the finger? How many of us debating? But when we do these things, we make it seem like it's just a small little mosquito bite on the leg. We got to understand that these are high crimes, because if this crime was high enough to get the devil kicked out of the kingdom, then it is very important for us to take heed to this. So the Bible simply said the righteous are scarcely saved. And I believe we're scarcely saved because our mouth, pointing a finger, being an accuser of the brethren. Instead of hiding people's sins, we blatting out their sins. We just talking all about it. We doing a whole bunch of whispering. We doing a whole bunch of backbiting. We got so many stank, funk, destructive attitudes. You better believe that all that stuff is all that's going to prove if you get into the kingdom of not or not. So we understand that half of us ain't going to make it. We understand that because the book just said the righteous are scarcely saved. So more than half of us ain't making it. So the ones that do get an understanding of this, let's find out what other issues we have before we get into the good part of this precept. We got to do a lowdown, dirty, and cut, uncut scene right now. So we understand the righteous are scarcely saved. But what else do we have to know about us? Let's go to the book of Isaiah chapter 64. The book of Isaiah chapter 64. The book of Isaiah chapter 64, and all we're going to do is, all we want is verse 6, Isaiah 64 and 6. When you get it, big bro, go ahead and read.
Isaiah 64 and 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away.
Oh, scary thing. Man, that's scary thing. But it just says, but we, so including the person that's talking and everybody else, we. It didn't say y'all or you, we, indicating us. All our righteousness is a filthy rag. Let me read that. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. So have Quickie be on folly or whatever, it just take you away real quick. But it lets you know that we have a small life term. As soon as we're born, it's like you quit to die, but you're looking at the eyesight of God, because 1,000 years is 1 year in the Lord's eyesight, as 1 day is 1,000 years. You only live for a second in his eyesight. But the same point of time is that we are all unclean things. Now, it's very important to understand what verse 6 is talking about, because if you understand that we all are unclean things, unrighteous and filthy rags, then somewhere in our hearts should be jumping with some humility. It should be very easy to forgive your brother if you know you're a filthy rag. It should become very easy for you to forgive your brother. It should become very easy not to keep a messed up thought in your head. These things should come a little bit more easy once you understand what's at stake. I got to be careful at all times, because just because I'm doing what's right, the book said, man, I might not make it. Because we're looking at this world. Remember, I'm only talking about the things that we know from the righteous. What I'm saying is that we're only looking at the people who attend classes or the ones who know the true and living God. This is our conversation. I'm not really too much talking about or concerned about what other people is doing. It's because I can lose count on how many things I have seen that I don't think that was too cool. And I'm pretty sure you have. But if don't nobody correct it, that's why that scripture stands in the book of Peter, where it said the righteous are scarcely saved. You think you're going to hop your way into the kingdom, and you've been such the most nasty, foulest person with your mouth, lying and pointing a finger and whispering. You truly believe that the Most High God of Israel could put a crown on your head and a throne and tell you, well done, good and faithful servant? You have lost your damn mind. And you could not have been a fornicator. You could not have been an adulterer. You could have kept the Sabbath day holy. You could have did every single thing by keeping the law, statute, and judgments and the holy days and never check that you need to watch your mouth. You never check those devilish ways, which is being an accuser. You never check those ways about pointing a finger. So you got to understand something. In the book of Isaiah chapter 64 and 6 is letting us know this. All righteousness is a filthy rags. Don't think you're special. We should humble ourselves and try to get this thing right. But all we're doing right now is just finding out the issues we're having and understanding that the righteous is scarcely saved. And then what we're going to do is make the picture a little bit pretty. So now let's go into the book of Romans chapter 3. The book of Romans chapter 3. And what we're going to do is pick this thing up at verse 10. The book of Romans chapter 3. The book of Romans chapter 3. And what we're going to do, Brother McCombie, we're going to pick this thing up at verse 10. And we're going to read verses 10 through 12, and then we're going to skip to 23.
Romans 3, starting at the 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one.
Right, so you got to understand this. So when we read these things, this should keep us at a level of temperance and humility with yourself and with others. Because, like, when I look at these scripts and I try to do this thing, this is why I tell you, do the best you can to serve God and do the best you can to stay away from your folly. And your charity, your meekness, and your long-suffering, double that bad boy, double that piece by 100. Because it may be you might be saved because of your love. do the best you can to stay away from your flesh. Do the best you can to not to entertain those thoughts. And double your ass up by 100 when it comes to charity, long-suffering, meekness, temperance, long-suffering, defending the poor, helping and loving the widows, loving and helping the fatherless, doing good to the widow, indeed. That might just save you. Because you think you know all this great massive knowledge, you got to understand something. When you look at these kingdoms, it's love that God is really looking for. Go help somebody instead of talking about them. And even if they don't know God, understand that they might not have been introduced to God, so they might not even have a clue how to serve God. Learn to be temperate. Learn to be patient. Learn not to be quick to speak just because things aren't going your way. If you do it that way, now you're learning how to do well. Now let's skip down to verse 23, and that's all we need. Verse
23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
So ain't no holy Joe blows. Ain't no, I ain't sinned in 12 years. I know I'm good, and you just know you getting your ass tossed straight in the fire if you think that foolishness. So no matter how righteous you think you are, you still got issues and jacked upness you need to fix. And it's enough to try to fix until the day you die. So we all got to understand this picture. Because we understand the righteous are scarcely saved. And we also understanding that our righteousness we put up ain't nothing but filthy rags. So why we think we so high, pious, and holy? There ain't none righteous, no, not one. Just do the best you can. Keep your mouth off people. Understand this charity. And do the best you can to stay away from you. That's all I can tell you. Now let us go into the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. Right, so we came through on some things we have issues with, and we understand the righteous are scarcely saved. But remember, we still got to understand the name of the precept. The name of the precept is charity shall cover a multitude of sins, because the righteous is scarcely saved. So now we see that just because we know a couple of things don't mean that it's all that. And we also know that half of us might not make it. So now what we got to do now is try to go to the scriptures and see how we can clear some of this stuff up. Because we see we have a problem. So now let's clear some of this stuff up. So now we're going to see what kind of God we serve. So in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, and all we want is verse 9.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
So that man God has given us time. He ain't just go drop you down and just say, you know what, I'm done with you. No, I'm going to give you some time. I'm long-suffering. So we understand the righteous is scarcely saved, but at the same point in time is the Bible also tells us that God is long-suffering. So the ones that don't get saved, that means they must have ran out of all God's long suffering. But the Bible's telling us that the Lord God of Israel is long suffering. And let's see if we can add some more to this. Let's go into the book of Luke chapter 6. The book of Luke chapter 6. The book of Luke chapter 6. And all we want is verse 36.
Luke 6 and 36. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful.
So we know he's long-suffering, now we understand he's merciful. Praise God, because if it wasn't, I'm pretty sure this whole creation would be finished. So we got to understand and take heed to that. And if we take heed to the scriptures, and if we put on this righteousness that God wants out of us, the Lord can even do something great for us too. Let's check this thing out. Let's go to the book of Jude. The book of Jude, verse 21 through 25. And I cut you off necessary, Brother McCormick.
Jude chapter 1, starting at the 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh.
Oh, that means they hate it all. That means they hate it all. That stuff about that flesh. But if you check this thing out, how the book is saying this thing, in verse 21 it said, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So we're looking for that mercy. That's why when you get your knees full, you got to remember mercy. Don't be like the Pharisee that was bragging on that little stuff he was doing and thought he was straight. When we look towards what God, Lord, I'm looking for mercy. Because without mercy, I ain't got a shot. I ain't got a shot if ain't no mercy. And verse 22 said, And of some have compassion, making a difference. Okay. 23. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Go ahead and read.
24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.
Oh, amen, bro. 24, boy. It said, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. So just imagine if you putting on these good fruits of the Spirit. Just imagine if you doing this fervent charity. Just imagine if you being long-suffering, temperate, humility, patient. You're not putting your mouth on people. You're doing the best you can to be a genuine, good, decent person. How many sins do you think God is forgiving you daily if you keep these fruits up? You may do so dang go good the fruits of the spirit. The Lord say, man, he's faultless. You could have been a dirtbag all your life and fight the flesh and turn around and understand these fruits of the spirit. And the Lord can simply call you faultless because you did the best you could to get away from your flesh, and your charity work and your fruits of spirit was phenomenal. Just imagine if you put on a good, decent character every day. Gentle, meekness, long-suffering, being a helpful people, helping the poor, doing your charity work. You're not boasting and bragging. You humble and you meek. How many sins do you think is being forgiven? A truckload multitude, to the point the Lord even call you faultless. And it'd be gladly to present you from the Father blameless. So we got to understand, even this is why we had to start the precept cut low down and dirty, like Mike Tyson chewing on somebody's ear. We had to get it low down and cut dirty so we know where we at. So if, since we know where we at, now we should humble ourselves to understand what we need. Praise God. Now let's go into the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. The book of Lamentations, chapter 3. And what we're going to do is pick this thing up at The book of Lamentations, chapter 3. And what we're going to do is pick this thing up at verse 21. And we're going to read verses 21 through 23. Because we're about to read about the Lord's compassion now. You see, because the Lord can already present us faultless. Not saying just because, you know, you came out of the water and you just, you know. I'm pretty sure when everybody got that water, they still had to fight an even stronger battle. But the ones that held on to try to get this thing right, you still have a chance and opportunity to be called faultless. Just people in general. So we're in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. The book of Lamentations, chapter 3. And we're going to pick this up at verse 21. And we're going to read verses 21 through 23. When you get it, Brother McComey, go ahead and read.
Lamentations 3, starting at the 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness.
Woo! Did y'all catch what verse 23 said? Let's read verse 22. It said, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. Listen. Let's read verse 23. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You mean to tell me his compassion, his mercy could be something, it could be new every morning? So you thought you might have some good mercy that morning. But when you wake up that next morning, that could be a new mercy. It could be something new. It is the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So we're looking at that God is very great in mercy, if you're willing to take it. So let's be mindful of that. Now let us go into the book of Psalms, chapter 30. The book of Psalms, chapter 30, and what we're going to do is pick this up in verse 50. Because it's something else we need to understand, too. It's because the Lord has given us all the tools we need so we can have a fighting chance at the kingdom. But we got to try our best to take it. the book of Psalms, chapter 30. And what we're going to do, let me see. No, that's not it. Let me see. Let's do 15 and 30. Okay, the book of Psalms 30 and 5. Forgive me. Book of Psalms, chapter 30, verse 5.
Psalms 30 and 5. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning.
Right, because that's that. Right, cause that's how the Lord get down. They got compassion. We make it seem like God is just this. Like if you mess up that one time, it's over. You mess up that second time, you might as well throw in the towel. I don't think that's a good idea to do it like that. Because ain't no telling what type of demon you fighting off. This is why, the grace of God, I might put a precept together that is called sin addiction. It's just like drug addiction. And I did my own proper research on that. Did you know that for a scholar, a person to do away with drugs, take them at least amount to 15 to 20 years to overcome that addiction? Now I didn't do the other stuff, but I did drugs. But all together, it takes 20 years just to get away from that lifestyle. We don't know what type of battles in the flesh people have. So that's why it is very important for us to take heed. Because what we just read in the book of Psalms, chapter 30, verse 5, it said, "For his anger endureth but a moment." Why do we talk like the Lord is busting people's jaw open and knocking their teeth out every second they drop the ball? Merciful God. And God know us better than ourselves. And I know for a fact sometimes Lord look at us and be like, man, you could be too hard on yourself. Because then the Bible said that thing that thou allowest. I forgot that scripture where. Hey, Nicole, you know where that scripture is at? That scripture? Like, don't beat yourself up on the thing you allow.
No, I don't know where it's at.
Or Job, one of y'all, it's on top of my head, but I can't find it. I've been looking for that scripture for a good minute. I can't find it nowhere. But it's basically telling you, don't beat yourself up on what you allow. And what we're reading right here is that for his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Right? So you got to understand. Just do the best you can to serve God and just try to do it. Just try to get it right. And if you mess up, get it together. You know? And definitely if you wake up that next morning, that means the Lord give you a chance to get it right again. So don't beat and destroy yourself because stress kills. Just do the best you can to serve God and do this thing right. That's all. Now let us move along. Let us go into the book of, let's go to the book of 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4, and what we're going to do is pick this thing up at verse 8, and that's all we need is verse 8, because the beginning of this precept, we just showed us how bogus we can get in definitely being in this flesh. We know it's a rough thing, but the same point of time is that we're looking at the ram in the bush now. So we're in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4, and what we're going to do is pick this thing up at verse 8. 1 Peter 4 and 8, that's all we need, bro. When you get it, go ahead and read.
1 Peter chapter 4, starting at the 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins.
Amen. Go read verse 9.
9. use hospitality one to another without grudging.
Amen, 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 amen. So we know we understand what this thing is all about. It said, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. So if we understand that in the book of 1 Peter 4:18-19 said the righteous are scarcely saved, but then at the same point in time in the book of 1 Peter 4:8, it's telling us that charity will cover a multitude of sins. So this is why your everyday, put on charity. We ask God for mercy every day. Even when you think you did a swell job, still ask the Lord for mercy and be merciful unto you a sinner, us a sinner. Because we understand that we scarcely saved, but the same point in time is that we're looking at if we put on this charity and this love, it might do us some real good at that appointed time. So just to put something on your mind, this charity thing is a very big thing. So now let's go into the book of Acts chapter 20. The book of Acts chapter 20. The book of Acts chapter 20. And all we want is verse 35, bro.
I have showed you all things, how that so laboring he ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
Now look, we see all these things, we just like, oh, that little video stuff, man. Let me grab all them big books out the closet so I can go and get this thing right. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Do that on your own time, praise God. But shoot, we just read in the Bible right here. We just read verse 35. It said, I have showed you all. What's all? All means absolute. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye are to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So he's showing you all things. This is what I really want out of you. You want to shout at the kingdom? Then do that. You want a crown? Then just do what I told you what was good. I told you what was good. I told you what was good. How that so laboring ye are to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's what he wants us to do. So to me, it seems like we understand why the righteous are scarcely saved. Because the book is telling you, this is what I want out of you. I want you to love like no other. I want you to strengthen the weak hands. I want you to defend the poor. Those in prison, go visit them. Vince, go visit them. If you're cold spade, make that widow heart sing for joy. Be long-suffering. Be gentle. Be meek. That's what I want out of you. This is all this good stuff you've been telling us. And you better damn believe this can get you a crown. It's also another reason why he called us gods. Let's go to the book of Psalms chapter 82. We're in the book of Psalms chapter 82. And big bro, all we want is verse 1-6. When you get it, go ahead and read, bro.
Psalms 82, starting at the 1. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked, Selah? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in foundations of the word earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High.
The Lord told us what we was. The Lord told us what's in our way. And the Lord even gave us back the instructions. And at the end of the day, he gonna tell us what we are. But in that whole passage that Elder just read, verses 1 through 6, it just gave us the tools on how to get the kingdom back, how to get a crown, how to get a throne. We just read it. You know, a lot of brothers do great precepts when they're doing these God lessons. I never take that from them. They do great lessons. But they read verses 1 and 2 and skip all the way down to verse 6 and miss the whole passage on becoming a God. Because verse 1 said, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, he judgeth among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly except the persons of the wicked say lie? So I'm telling you gods, but you're messing up. But since you're messing up, I'm going to tell you how to become God. Verse 3, defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. That's how we get that power back. That's how we get that spot back into the kingdom with the Most High God. But remember, the righteous is still scarcely saved. Want me to tell you why the righteous is still scarcely saved? Because of verse 5. They know not, neither will they understand. They don't even understand that this is the instructions that God has given you to get back into the kingdom. But we too focused and busy looking at other stuff. We want to fight about foolish stuff, senseless stuff. The hell you want to argue about fringes for? If it's in a man's heart to wear fringes, let him wear it. If it ain't in your heart, then you just don't wear them. Just a kid, don't put your mouth on them. We want to argue and debate about the Pascha. If it's in your heart to believe the Pascha, then praise God. If it's not, then do your own thing. Just don't put your mouth on it. It might not be your cup of tea. We want to argue and fight about the name. Let that person believe whatever name he wants to. You ain't got to go to White Throne Judgment for it. And there's so many other things, too. We so focused on all this other stuff. The whole Esau thing. The whole Gentiles ain't making the kingdom. We so focused on all that stuff. And not even understanding that they fit that same passage in verse 5. They know not, neither do they understand. And this is why the righteous are scarcely saved, because they know not, neither do they understand that this is the passage on how you get back the kingdom. It's all about loving one another, being passionate, having compassion, strengthening one another, being a damn good brother, being there for your brother's adversity. Those are the things the Most High want out of us. But we know not, neither do we understand. Now let's go into the book of Hebrews chapter 13. Book of Hebrews chapter 13. And what we're going to do is pick this up at verse 16. That's all we want. It's Hebrews 10, and we want verse. Oh, forgive me. I'm sorry, y'all. Hebrews 13 and 16. Forgive me. Hebrews 13 and 16.
Hebrews 13 and 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased.
Well, remember, we already went into the book of Acts chapter 20 and 30, the book of Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Didn't it say, I told you what was good? And now we just read the book of Hebrews chapter 13 and 16. It said, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with sacrifices, God is well pleased. So do good and communicate, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Amen. And let's go into the book of Proverbs, chapter 19 and 17.
Proverbs 19:17.
Proverbs 19 and 17.
Proverbs 19, starting at 17. He that hath pity upon the poor leadeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again.
Amen. Amen. Remember that. Be a genuine person. Love. Take care of the poor. Amen. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. Amen. Now that's in the Old Testament. And we're going to show you the reward in the New Testament. But remember what it said in the top part. It says, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. Remember that. And let's show you how you reward to the Lord, how you lend it to the Lord in the New Testament. Well, the reward for helping that person out and giving to the Lord in the New Testament. So let's go to the book of Matthew's chapter 25. The book of Matthew's chapter 25. And what we're going to do is pick this thing up at verse 31. And we're going to read verses 31 through 40. And when you get it, big bro, let freedom fly. Let freedom fly.
Matthew 20:31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hunger, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, saw we thee a hunger and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked, or in clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me.
You see what happens when you take care of the poor? What you're doing for God? Remember, that poor person, he can't repay you, but God can repay you very well. seemed like to me that God repaid you with everlasting life and a name that would never fade away. Just by giving that, you know, helping a brother out with a sweater or some shoes, you know, helping out with canned goods, you know, strengthening those that's in need. You know, even if they at their lowest estate, you're still gonna keep a right spirit about them. You know what I'm saying? You know, could put your mouth on them. You know, you're just gonna be a good, genuine, decent person. You mean to tell me that those are great things for the kingdom? And let's find out what else do God like. Now remember, we're looking at the things that God that we see that's going to get us into the kingdom. This charity and this love will do us a major help. Because the righteous is scarcely saved, but this might put us in a decent spot. Let's go into the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So we're in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and what we're going to do is pick this up at verse 7. We're going to read verse 7.
2 Corinthians chapter 9 and 7. Every man according as he proposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver.
Boy, ain't no wrong with a cheerful giver, boy. Lord, really love that. Man, I came down hard times, man. Let me just hold a couple dollars. Man, I just got paid, bro. Yeah, man, take this honey. Don't give it back, bro. I'm good. Praise God. Well, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's my servant right there. You see, just gave him $100. You don't even want it back. You just gave him $100, man. I like that. That's good. That's very good. To definitely give and don't even want it back. Praise God. The Lord love a cheerful giver. Instead of being, oh, here he go again. Here, come take this. No, they come down on it, man. You got it. Just give it to him, man. Praise God. All praise. Now, we have two more after this. We have two more. So, during the precept, we got understanding that the righteous is scarcely saved, but the Lord has given us a ram in the bush, and that's the fruits of the Spirit. Right? And we understand that our righteousness is filthy rags. But at the same point in time is the Lord has given us a ram in the bush to try to get this thing right. We need to understand that. But at the same point in time is that we need to also understand on what we're not supposed to do for these last two scriptures. Because we still got to go back into this precept for the last two scriptures why the Bible said the righteous is scarcely saved. Because we got to understand that it's not good to be judgmental. It's not good to be judgmental. Because the Lord might reverse that and put that on you. And you could be keeping all these laws, statutes, and judgments so good and be an accuser and be judgmental and find out that the Lord might play that same play on you. So let's go into the book of James chapter 13. The book of James chapter 2, and all we want is verse 13. When you get it, big bro, go ahead and read.
James chapter 2 and 13. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment.
Ooh, wait, so you mean tell me if you can't show no mercy, you can't show no type of forgiveness? You mean tell me the Lord to put that tear through you just like that? Remember, you always, nope, you wrong, yep, you got to take it, I don't care. See, like to me, the Lord be like, nope, you wrong, why'd you do this? Why'd you do that? Nope, you ain't getting away with that. You did this, you did that too, and you just did that. No, you don't know nothing about no mercy, so don't call me with no mercy. It seems like he's going to flip that same thing on us. And that's a big thing, that's a big issue we have. What judgment you meet with, though, the same judgment you're going to get. Let's be Let's check this thing out. So we understand that the book of James chapter 2 and 13 is, for he shall have judgment without mercy that have shown no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. And let's go into the last spot, the book of Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. The book of Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. It's because we got to understand that these people we're going to read about, they know who the true and living God was. And it seemed like they was doing a lot of work in the vineyard. But then they ended up being in that category of righteous being scarcely saved. Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Yes, sir. We're going to read verses 21 through 23, and this will be it.
Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
Now, something that really caught my attention in verse 21, it just caught my attention. It said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter to the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So that means the people that was doing all these works in the vineyards obviously wasn't doing those works that the Lord needed, that was doing those works for the Father. So you could be doing all of this stuff that these people was talking about, casting out devils and doing wonderful works and stuff like that. But you got to understand that charity, that love, that meekness and temperance plays a very huge part. Because it'll suck to think that you was doing all this stuff and we end up in the same category as these people. And then in verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. That is sucking. That's a very scary thing. To find out you've been doing the Sabbath all your life so good. You know, you're doing the holy days so wonderful. You know the 70 weeks of Daniel, you know the great tribulation, you know all those things also well. You ain't ate a pork chop in about 50-some years. You ain't did no shrimp or no lobster. You're not even committing adultery. You're not doing all those things. And you mean to tell me that there's a chance and a possibility of you not making it because of these milk instructions? That would be a very scary and terrible thing to not make the kingdom because of these small milk instructions. You did all the big stuff. Yeah, the meat was great. The hell, I mean, I got meat in my throat. I need to drink it down. You ain't got no milk to give me to drink. So what purpose do I have for you? You did all the meat, but I got to drink it down. I ain't got nothing to drink. What use are you? If you understand that metaphor. But through the grace of God, I hope you got some understanding of this precept on this, that's called, charity shall cover multitude of sins, yea, because the righteous are scarcely saved. So through the grace of God, I hope we gird up on our meekness and temperance and long sufferings and fruits of the Spirit and stuff like that. Because through the grace of God, that might give us a great good chance in making it to the kingdom. So through the grace of God, I hope you got some understanding of the precept. And I thank y'all for your time, and I turn things over to Brother Job and Sister Rhea. I thank you for your time.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
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 Amen. All praises. I turn things over, Brother Joe and Sister Ram.
Okay.
Very good lesson, brother.
Hey, thank you, sis.
You're more than welcome. Good reading, brother, in the comments.
Thank you, sis.
You're welcome. See, that's why I love you guys. You guys are so polite. Y'all are so sweet.
Amen.
I like your lesson. But, yeah, I agree that.
Hey, what's like, hey, Brother Joe, bro, I can't really hear you.
Okay, hold on.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, loud and clear.
Okay, good. Yeju, great precept. Man, you know, it's how we expect to get into the kingdom as a know-it-all? You know, it's something that, you know, we always use this scripture to point out Sunday Christians, but it's not talking about Sunday Christians. It's talking about us, because Sunday Christians don't know what he's talking about. You know, he's talking to those that's in the know. So it's just Revelation chapter 3. Let's see, Revelation 3 and verse 14. He said, and unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would work cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor, blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried and the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, and that thou mayest be clothed, that thou shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. First of all, before you even get to this, you got to recognize that all your righteousness, what you think you are, what you think you got, what you think you know, ain't nothing. In the grand scheme of things.
Right.
I mean, it's good. I mean, don't get me wrong, but the mind that God gave Solomon is nothing compared to this grand scheme of things. The mind that he gave Solomon is not to be compared to the mind that he's going to give us. God willing, we live in the first resurrection. So we're not going to have the hearts of stone, and we're not going to be rebellious and hearts of flesh or wickedness and stuff like that. We're going to be obedient. We don't want him to say, I never knew you, because we were not right in our heart. You know, just by being malicious with our mouth. Just being malicious, man. Saying things, doing things, being disrespectful, honorary, flip, whatever. And then we're going to go and stand before God and say amen. Like Nicomia brought up some years ago, man. He said, we sit up here and we pray, thy will be done in the Lord's Prayer. And then as soon as we get through praying, we're going to be about our own will. You know, we can't have it both ways, man. Even, you know, either serve God or serve man. And along the way, we're going to help each other get into the kingdom. And we keep lifting each other up, preferring one another above ourselves. That's how we get into the kingdom. Not to respect a person and not fearing what others can do, but preferring others before ourselves. Man, great precept. I just thought it was way too short. I was just getting warm in the seat. So great precept, Israelite. I know it got to be a part two. So I yield my.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, bro. Appreciate it. And great reading, Brother Nakomi. Great reading, bro. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you. Shalom. Great precept, brother. Great precept. And I was taught by one of my mentors, the great Bishop Messenger, and he said, and I like your lessons like this because you, when you come with the charity and all these things, it has a lot of mercy in this. But he used to say, we supposed to be just like Jesus. Jesus was a blessing to everyone. He taught people, fed people, he helped people, got people out of jams. All kinds of stuff. And that's what we're supposed to be if we're truly supposed to be doing this. We're supposed to be a blessing. We ain't supposed to be trying to trip with people. Like I said, when I was a young Israelite, I used to always want to bang people with the book and, you know, and I just wanted to win every argument and all that type of thing. But guess what? That didn't win me a lot of peace. It didn't win me a lot of people. So it's two scriptures that I really lean on with Nation of Peace and in my everyday walk. And that's Matthew chapter 5. And it is verse 7 and verse 9. Verse 7, it reads, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So this is a principle. Guess what I got? That's what I got for almost everybody. I got mercy because I want mercy. I know how a principle works. Verse 9, Matthew chapter 5 and 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Guess what that means to me as a principle? If I'm at peace with everybody, if I'm always at peace, if I'd probably be at peace with all men, if I'm always pushing peace, guess what? I'm going to be children of God. If you want a children of God, that's an automatic shot to the kingdom. You automatically in if you want his children. So I stick very close to mercy and peace. So great lesson. Bringing these things in your ministry is always talking about these things. And these are very great principles. Great lesson. I yield to my.
Amen, amen, amen. Bailey, you hit that on the money, bro. Amen. You got to show mercy if you want some mercy. And Brother Joe, man, you hit that thing on. I'm going to go ahead, through the grace of God, I might do a part two, depending on how the Spirit wants me to go. But, you know, I just want to put some on some people, man, you know, just in case somebody want to talk. You know, put it a little decent. I think we did about 18. I think we did about 17, 18. I think about 17. But, you know, through the grace of God, you know, hey, serious deal. All praises. All right, do we have anybody else that would like to say anything about the precept, any testimonies, any add-ons, any questions? Now is your chance.
Shalom, Brother Isaiah. I like your lesson.
Oh, amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. All praise. What's your name?
Elijah. Sister Rachel's son.
Oh, hey. How you doing? Grace and peace.
I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good, bro. I'm glad. It's glad to have you.
Thank you.
All right, amen. Amen. And all praises. All right, grace and peace. Okay, do we have anybody else that would like to say anything or add-ons? Now's your time. All right, if you don't have anybody like to say anything, I would like to turn it back over to Brother Job or Sister Rhea for announcements.
Shalom, Israelite. Shalom,
brother. All right, shalom, bro.
Shalom, brother. Great precept once again, man. We want to thank everyone that's listening. The mics is open. If you can't get in, if there's any problems, let us know. But quite a few lines open. Anyway, obviously, I guess everybody's where they want to be. So, with that being said, tomorrow evening, we're going to pick it back up at the Great White Throne, part two, Great White Throne, part two. Last week, we dealt with how not to get there. Now, what we want to deal with is the actual mechanics of it. You know, it's actually going to come together like a transformer. You know, it's going to appear. It's not like, you know, how do you do away with the sun and the moon and the stars and the earth and then place the entire creation of trillions of people that came and went in that void? Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of mechanics that's going to take place here. So you want to be here for that. That's tomorrow evening at South Little Water. That's at 7 o'clock p.m. here, the Commonwealth of Israel. Then the Sabbath day, we're dealing with marriage and adultery, part 5. I did say I was done with it last week. I did. I apologize. But I did realize once we got off the line, she was still out there. We didn't finish what God do with us if we get carried away with that man. So we got to bring that into judgment, and that no one follow that madness in the end. So we got to bring that into judgment, then wrap it up, because it's pretty much like us, you know, the divorce of Israel and the marriage of the Lamb. Say what? He divorced us and threw us among all of the people that we ran off into the darkness with, and look what got us. So, we're going to deal with that first because it's a law, and it is what it is. So, God willing, we live. That's this Sabbath day. All right, so tomorrow evening, once again, the Great White Throne Judgment, part 2. So, we'll be here for that. And I want to say great reading, Brother Nakomi. You can catch him also every Wednesday evening here with the Water. In the life of Nation of Peace, the Nation of Peace of Israelite, out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, bringing that kingdom state
of mind.
That kingdom state of mind that's every Wednesday night. That's your Brother Nakomi here at the reading tonight. And your Brother Isaiah. Catch me here Thursday evening as well. The Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study Class coming out of Peoria, bringing over that razor blade and lemon juice. And drama.
Cuckoo.
We need that. We need that what we call, what the Lord called a hissa. That hissa. That stuff that scrub all the way down to the pores. We need to be washed up. Purified before the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So, any closing comments, brother, before we wrap it up?
You know, if the Bible said the righteous is scarcely saved, you better believe the Lord ain't gonna hide the cure for it. You know, so if you have an ear to hear, understand this, that the fruits of the Spirit, that charity, that long-suffering, that gentleness, that meekness, you hold that down to the day you die and try to double up on that every single day. You know, you're at work, you're at school, you're around friends, you're at home, or even with your family. You know, we really need to understand the fruits of the Spirit. It goes a very long way. You know, and if things ain't looking too good at that appointed time at the White Throne Judgment, if you're not too blessed to be in the first, that could be your way into the kingdom. So it's just that important. It's that important to make sure you hold down the fruits of the Spirit and love your brothers and love the poor and help those that's in need will get you a long way. Definitely helping those in need, because if you help those in need, you're lending to the Lord. You're doing some good for the Lord. And he'll repay you with a crown and everlasting life, because we're seeing in the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 through 40. We saw it. You want a chance of salvation? Do the best, be the best person you can possibly be, and understand that you really need to gird up on those. We know we need to. We all need to understand that we are to gird up on the fruits of the Spirit, because that could be our way in, and also our ram in the bush, and to make it into the kingdom of God. And with that, I yield the mic.
Amen, amen. Praise God, brother. You're right. We better attach ourselves to the fruits of the Spirit. That meekness and charity and love, kindness and long suffering and humility and meekness and so many more attributes to those things. Help, you know, God knows. Attain only that to knowing wisdom of the wicked. You know, we know that. You know, that's old hat. Let's try to find something out new. Like kingdom spirit. So,
amen.
With that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time. We edify someone. And as we say here at the Sound of the Living Waters, we what?
Read your Bibles in Apocrypha.
And your Apocrypha.
Amen.
Read your Bibles.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show.